for tuning in to Christian Devotion Speak Up, the show where Christian leaders come on and share their saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and how He brought them to serve the kingdom in a big way. I'm your host, Scott McCausey, and I welcome you to stick around and hang out with us. We've got a great show planned just for you. So for the next 60 minutes, turn off the television, turn up your computer speakers, and get ready to learn about Christ through our guest testimony and our ministry. This is Christian Devotion Speak Up.
And we're back with Christian Devotion Speak Up. I'm hoping that this caller that I just brought in the line is Trot and Catherine. Is that you guys, Nixons?
Yes, this is us. Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Welcome to Christian Devotion Speak Up.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
I'm glad you guys. And I have Trot with me as well?
Correct.
Awesome. Well, I do want to dive into this fun interview tonight, being that it's the All-Star Game. I'm so happy both of you could join. And Catherine, I had such a fantastic time with you last time on Speak Up, talking about your book and talking about your husband and his path to the majors. It just made sense to try and bring you both back again. But I have a really fun question to open up the program with. Usually we dive into the testimonies, which we're going to do here in just a second. But I've also got kind of a treat based on this question. Okay, and here it is. Do you guys harbor any resentment towards the New York Yankees?
No.
No.
All right.
We have friends that were Yankees, and we also have friends that are Yankee fans.
Okay. Well, here's why I had to throw that out there, and this is going to be a clip for a program that's coming up very soon. I had Bill and Vicky Rose interviewed for the program, and I have a fun clip because I posed this question to them, but in the flip-flop in regards to the Red Sox. Are you guys ready to hear this one-minute clip to hear what they had to say?
Yeah.
All right, check it out. Here we go.
Now, what our listeners really want to know, because you guys are obviously Yankee fans, a love for the Red Sox as well?
I'll take the fifth.
Well, I didn't really need to answer have that question asked, but I had to throw it out there. Especially, you guys got a big series coming up this coming week.
We have four games in 3 days coming up.
Well, I have a story actually to tell you about that, Scott.
All right.
In Florida, I don't know, a few years ago, I parked my car outside of the supermarket and I noticed as I got out of the car that the car next to me had a Red Sox license plate on the front.
Prior, though, to the Red Sox beating the Yankees in 2004.
Okay.
Must have been around 2003. So I went back to my car, I got a little piece of paper. I wrote 1918 on it, and I put it under the windshield wiper. No, that's the last year the Red Sox had won the World Series prior to 2004.
Oh, I gotcha.
With their windshield wiper.
My good little Christian wife, man, just socked it to the Red Sox.
And that was just a short clip with Bill and Vicky Rose, who told me to tell you they said hello. I recorded that this past week. Do you guys want to change your answer in regards to the Yankees now?
Hey, we love the Roses, but I play with the Red Sox. I didn't play with the Yankees. I've had friends. I've had a mutual respect for them, but when it comes down to Red Sox and Yankees, I'm a Red Sox, so.
Me too.
And as you should be. Now, like I mentioned earlier, I do dive into testimonies to Christ. Now, Catherine, we talked about yours a little bit, quite a bit in the last program. And as a matter of fact, I've been throwing that out there to our listeners who can always go back and check out our archive page at ChristianDevotionsSpeakUp.com. If you go into the sports figure section, Catherine Nixon's program is still listed there. But, Catherine, why don't you go ahead and describe to us a little bit about growing up as a sports girl, because you talked about loving to run and cheerleading and things of that nature, but also tell us how you ran to the arms of Christ.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home and went to church and always knew that I believed in Jesus. I loved Jesus. He's always just definitely, I knew that. But there were times when in high school and in college, I was not really walking that walk. And it wasn't until really we met Walt Day. Walt Day is a good friend of Trot and ours. He's actually the chaplain for the Red Sox and for the Patriots.
He was.
And he's just a great guy. He's actually here at surf camp with us last week. And it's not until I realized that in high school and college I was kind of running the wrong way, and I'd never really asked Jesus into my heart. And although I thought I was a Christian, believed I was a Christian, I really never made that big step. And it wasn't until really when Tri and I had met Walt and started talking more about it, at that point I realized that I really needed to ask him into my heart. And that's when I did, and things just started really changing, just the way that I viewed things, just my attitude towards things, and just everything changed. And at that point, Trot and I were baptized together, and I'm just so thankful that he brought me back. I'm just so thankful for that.
Awesome. Now, Trot, you also grew up surrounded by sports and having a love for baseball and football, and maybe some more, I don't know. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about growing up. Do you have brothers and sisters? And we just kind of heard your testimony to Christ, but did you grow up with a knowledge of who Christ was, who God was, anything at all within your home dynamic?
Well, I grew up in the church, obviously. Growing up in the church, I have one younger sister, a older sister, and older brother. So three siblings. And I grew up in the church. Obviously, I also grew up on a ball field, whether it was a football field, baseball, soccer, basketball court, anywhere like that, I was there. I would go to Sunday school. I felt like, to me, I was somewhat active in the church life as far as the youth group and so forth. I really enjoyed it, even though the youth group that I was a part of at Pine Valley Baptist Church, a lot of them were from a rival high school. But, you know, it's pretty good because we just kind of set that aside. You know, there'd be a little bit of trash talking and so forth, you know, when we come in for Sunday school, you know, knowing that the next week we might play them or not. But I had a lot of great friends. One of them is a missionary right now. His name's Lance Lawrence. He and I played baseball against each other, went to church together. I considered him a very dear friend of mine. I don't get to talk to him that much, but he keeps me up with what he's doing overseas. Been in Egypt and doing God's work there. But I can tell you that, you know, sports was very important to me, and along with Catherine and with the help of Walt Day. Walt Day, I have to kind of correct it. You know, he was the chaplain for the Red Sox and the New England Patriots for a number of years. Right now he works with Athletes in Action. They've kind of changed up certain things with both of those teams. But Walt was a part of winning, I think, 5 or 6 world championships. And he also introduced Bob Gray, who is the chaplain for the Boston Celtics. And Bob Gray is a dear friend of ours up there in the Boston area too. And so Walt's been kind of a part of about 6 or 7 world championships in the city of Boston. So a lot of people don't realize that. You know, he was really quiet, you know, tending to the players and their needs and so forth, especially their spiritual needs. And it wasn't until when Catherine and I got a chance to be around Walt, hear some of the things that he had to say, his witness to us. And for me also, Mike Stanley, the former Yankee, came over to the Red Sox, spent a couple years there, was our bench coach. You know, he's the one that kind of, you know, I had a Bible that my mom had got me growing up, but he was one that got me one while I was an adult. And it meant a lot to me. And invited me to chapel services every Sunday. We also started to develop Bible studies through baseball. So it wasn't till, you know, in high school growing up, you know, it was I wanted to be a professional athlete. And, you know, but I also made sure that I was at church every Sunday in Sunday school. Try to do some stuff, you know, maybe Wednesday nights with the youth group. But I really wasn't, like, all in, so to say, in my faith. And, you know, through this journey, you know, obviously, you know, getting to, in the same way through the minor leagues, you know, you're it's unfortunate to say, but it's the truth. I mean, I worried about trying to get to the big leagues. Yeah. And, you know, it's always, You know, patience is a virtue that I wish, I'm sure that several of us wish we had. And
amen.
A dear friend of mine said, he goes, it's amazing. We would probably say a prayer saying, hey, I want patience and I want it now.
Yes.
And,
exactly.
And it's kind of comical. And it was kind of a lot of the prayers that I prayed them were kind of the impatient ones, you know. And mm-hmm. I think Christ did a great job of explaining to me through Walt and some other great people that I've had in my life, saying, hey, it comes in my time, not in your time, meaning in Christ's time. So, not until I got into my professional baseball career that I started meeting some unbelievable people, people that have really touched my life, who have helped me more than anything, whether it's going through some difficult times in baseball, whether it's coming to the end of my baseball career, which is probably the most difficult time of all. People like Walt to challenge me to go out and give my testimony. A friend of Jay Stott, who has an organization called Purpose Driven Baseball. I went to the Czech Republic with him. Taught the game of baseball the best we could to some kids over in the Czech Republic, older kids mainly. Most of them were in high school or out of high school. And I did this because they said, if you come over and teach the game of baseball, we'll be more than willing to listen to what you have to say. And that was my opportunity to give my testimony to these guys and a few different, along with Pat Watkins, in our own way. So it's people like this that kind of challenge me to, you know, get deeper into my faith, but also don't stay in your comfort zone. You know, our comfort zone is, it's easy to give our testimony in the United States, but hey, get out of your comfort zone and go somewhere, another country or, somewhere that's never heard the word of God, and go out there and give your testimony. Because, I mean, the biggest question we have when we have a check publicly was like, hey, why are we here?
Yeah.
And my thing was that, hey, you know, Christ would do this too.
Yeah, Trout, let me throw this out there at you. More pressure, being at the plate with the bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, down a couple runs, or heading to another country, proclaiming your testimony and sharing the love of Christ?
It's funny. Going to the Czech Republic now, I haven't been to a country that, you know, warns people not to come over and profess your faith. I haven't been to a country like that. Those missionaries are awesome. They're unbelievable. Those guys are all stars. Those men and women are. But for me, I was very excited going to the Czech Republic. The groundwork had already been laid. So it was very easy for me to go in there and just, stand up and give my testimony.
Right.
You could see some guys that were into it. You could see some guys that were not, that could care less. But you know what? It didn't matter. They may hear one thing that, you know, you could touch the life of one person. You could touch the life of many over there.
Right.
Pressure-wise, I'd probably say, going to the plate, doing those certain things, you represent the city and all this stuff. But
right.
There is pressure going over to another country. But, I mean, if there was pressure, I didn't feel any of it going over there. And I was excited to have the opportunity. It was my first time and look forward to doing it again this year. And I think that's just the power of Christ saying, hey, look, man, everything's going to be awesome over here.
Yeah.
You just wait and see.
That's awesome. Now, one of the things I'd love to have you comment on as well is taking you back a little bit, because you mentioned growing up and going to the youth group and the different things also with kids from the rival school, which I'm sure that got played out as you got older and, competitive sports. How did that look, though? I mean, obviously you formed friendships with these guys at the other schools. Was it a good – did it take maybe even – talking about pressure, did it take the pressure off by playing against friends but still in a competitive environment?
It was fun because, Lance Lawrence, the missionary now, he and maybe a couple other guys that that aren't ringing a bell were probably the only ones I competed against. I remember competing against Lance, and
okay. There
was a little bit of trash talking amongst us, but it was all out of pure love and fun, and even to the point where we faced each other in the game. When he stepped up to the plate, he put a smile on his face, and I had a smile on my face. And usually that didn't happen when I was in high school playing in baseball.
Right.
I didn't smile at you.
And yeah.
There's probably a couple guys that I did that with, and those are really my true friends. And during that period time, it was a lot of fun. And no matter what happened after the game, we competed against each other, and we cared a great deal about each other, no matter whether it was during the game or after the game. And that's a lot of fun. That makes the game even more enjoyable. And when you're playing against friends that are like that, and I've had the pleasure in doing it also, at the professional level too. So.
Oh, that's cool. Now, Catherine and I got to discuss quite a bit about the importance of parental involvement with younger years of our kids' lives, especially we talked about coaching. Now, did your dad coach you? I'm sure your parents were both very supportive. It sounds like they were. Were they into coaching, that aspect of your life growing up?
Well, my dad, as far as sports was, my dad was always my coach. He was never coach of the team, but when I stepped off the field and prepared for those things, he was my coach, and mom was everything else. I mean, a supporter. I mean, she was more of really the one who got us to church. She still goes there, Bible studies and all. Still the same church. My wife and I and family, we go to a different church in town. But either way. She was kind of the spoon that stirred the pot, for all of us to, with our faith. So that's kind of like what my father was, and parents were tremendous support for not only me, but also I had an older brother that he went to Duke to play. He played two sports. My sister went to nursing school, but she was an athlete in high school. And my youngest one was also, my younger sister was also an athlete, two or three sport athlete in high school also. So they're very supportive, sports oriented. And so.
Yeah. And, growing up, I just had one brother and one sister. My brother and I loved baseball growing up. I mean, we watched the Tigers on TV back when they were actually on regular TV, because I grew up here in Michigan, and just loved going in the backyard pretending we were the superstars that we watched on the program, and we'd bat like them, and we'd compete against one another. Did you guys, it sounds like you had some older siblings, did you guys do similar things with one another? I mean, the competition, was it, a little fast and furious growing up?
My older sister and older brother, they're 10 or 11 years older than I was.
Ah,
so they're
okay.
Never around. But I did all those things myself.
Sure.
I replayed every basketball play on the court. I did what I could wiffle ball-wise, whether it was by myself or with my buddy Stephen Wolf. And football-wise, he was probably, if there was one or two kids in town. I think every kid that's a sports fan in any sport will go out and relive it. I know my boys have gone out and done that stuff too, and already as far as being a sports person, it'd be crazy if a kid never went out and did that. I mean, uses his imagination then puts themselves into World Series opportunities and situations, and hopefully down the road they get to live one of them out possibly.
Absolutely. Now, let me throw this one at you. So you've got two sons. We talked about that again last year a little bit. Backyard playing some wiffle ball. Does, one of your sons pretend they've got the Trout Nixon stance going on and call the shot?
No, they do their own thing. We just played it yesterday, and they're a little too competitive. So they get, it's just one thing after another, and the toughest thing is teaching them that, and even it was tough for me and still is, somebody's going to lose.
Yes.
And somebody's going to win. And a buddy of mine said, hey, you know what, we always remember to, even though it's difficult, you win with class and you lose with class. Mm. And sometimes that's difficult to do when you're a competitor. But it's a smart thing to kind of put in the back of your head so that when that situation comes up, mm-hmm. boom, you're like that. And
absolutely.
So but yeah, they do their own thing. They don't mimic so much, you know, other players. You know, my oldest one, he watched the Home Run Derby from start to finish. I can't watch that stuff from start to finish anymore. They need to change up those rules somehow.
They do, I agree.
I mean, 10 outs every time, I'm like, no. I was like, y'all need to – 10 outs the first round, and then you start needing to lower the outs.
Yes.
And that gets, you know, I'm sorry. I don't watch that much of it. But they love sports, you know. You know, I'm thankful, but in the same sense, if they didn't, I'd still
yes.
be thankful, you know,
yes.
and I would try to provide in any way, shape, or form for whatever, you know, dreams that they may have, mm-hmm. whether it's on a football field or in a, you know, classroom or in a, you know, astronomy lab or whatever. I'm
mm-hmm.
all for it, you know, and it's the same, you know, I kind of tell people sometimes when you're witness to them, that it's the same kind of love that you show your kids is that the same kind of love that Christ has for us all, no matter who you are, what you've done, and all that. So that's the one thing that I think some people, once they wrap their head around it, you know, the light goes off and like, are you serious? Because sometimes people just think that, I'm not 100%, but I feel that people say, well, I'm just not good enough
mm-hmm.
to be in the presence of Christ. And I just tell them, are you out of your mind? And clearly you are, and I'm about to reel you in here. So, but
absolutely. Catherine, I haven't forgotten about you, but I got off track. Trot was talking about some awesome things. Now, what I wanted to throw back at you, Catherine, is obviously you shared a little bit about your growing up. Did your parents also embody coming close to you in regards to helping you with those things that you had – you were full of joy with, maybe even in your running or cheerleading?
Oh, yes. They were supportive all the way with anything that I wanted to pursue. They were always there, just willingly and lovingly supporting me definitely along the way and still do.
Awesome.
And I'm actually getting ready to do a ride for Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, and it's a bike ride. We ride from Wellesley to the tip of Cape Cod, and I got a check in the mail from my mom today, and it was just so sweet. They're still always supporting me in everything that I want to do. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So would you beat Trot in a bike race?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, yes.
I heard a no and a yes. I'm just going to leave that.
Competitive side that I will go down swinging.
I'm ready to go out and back and try this. I really am now. Running,
I love
we,
it.
Do
no.
know who, we do know who'd win running, too.
Well, I tell you what, you guys may have to do that, and then Catherine, throw me an email so I can throw that on the air next week, who won the bike race. Okay, here's what I want to talk about, because I've kind of set the stage. We've been talking about you guys growing up, you know, how your parents embodied loving on you guys and the coaching aspect of things. And, again, we talked about this last time, Catherine, the importance of coaches out there, adults, parents who willingly give their time to teach these kids. Trot, I'd love for you to maybe share a little bit about this. I think that you coach your children. Talk about the attitudes that kids have and how important it is for parents to get involved in their lives in this aspect so that they can mimic maybe the love of Christ when they're on the field or wherever they go.
Well, I think parents don't realize how huge of a help they are. When it comes to, you know, for instance, I'm a coach on baseball teams and football teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize how important they are to not only the development spiritually of their children, but also the development of their, you know, their sons or daughters from the sports side of it, whether it's football, baseball, or basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my parents, I spent a lot of hours on a football field, a lot of hours, or not just football or baseball or basketball with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom did a lot of, you know, she did a tremendous amount. I can't even put into words how much she did. But the support, you know, to making sure that everything was ready to go for when I went to school in the mornings, and making sure and encouraging me to, you know, be the kind of man that, you know, God wants us to be, that God specifically wanted me to be. And that also meant being involved in church, as, you know, youth group activities and so forth. So my mom was huge with that. I mean, my dad, a tremendous amount of help on the sports fields, but maybe not so much from the spiritual side. And I think that what that is that is passed on from generation to generation, from parents to parents. And it's our job as parents to pass this kind of love for Christ that our kids can see, that our kids can hear coming from our mouths. And, you know, and the best thing is when you hear coaches professing it on a field. And I'm not the greatest at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I know my wife encouraged me to say prayer before one of our baseball games, and I was like, yeah, sure. And we did it. And what was awesome was every kid, they came right in and they ducked their heads down.
Mm.
It wasn't like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Right.
And it's just amazing when you allow Christ to put his hand in something. But parents are going to dictate how well their kids are, how good their kids get,
mm-hmm.
on a athletic field and as well as spiritually off the field. They're the ones who are the driving force behind that. If they try to rely on the kid to do it themselves, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
There's not enough hours in a day to make a kid like he wants to be on a football field or basketball court or baseball field's not enough time in the day.
Yeah.
And it's up to the parents to learn as much as they possibly can and try to put them or give them all the opportunities they possibly can to make them the spiritually gifted child, as well as, you know, if we're talking about athletes, and do whatever they can athletically wise for them.
Yes. I think you completely hit the nail on the head, and we talk about that often. And there's a, I don't want to say a feeling of guilt, but we put a lot of blame on kids when we see them. You know, we see, quote-unquote, the troublemaker. Well, you know what? Mom and dad need to step up to the plate in regards to what Scripture says, Ephesians 6,
yeah.
Deuteronomy 6, in regards to fathers and families leading their children. And when they start doing that a little bit more, when parents start getting into the Word and transferring that information down into their kids, a lot of that, like you mentioned, Trot, it's just going to start to happen. The kids are going to see the life lived in their home, and then they're going to begin to embody that.
And the biggest thing is I also encourage you high school coaches out there. There's an organization called CTO, Coaches Time Out, all over the country.
Mm.
The part of the professional athletes outreach program that football and baseball have for
mm-hmm.
their professional athletes. CTO is a great atmosphere and a great organization for these high school coaches who we know a lot of high school football coaches that are the dads of several kids out there
mm-hmm.
because some of these kids don't have a dad.
That's right.
You know, I'm not going to get into some of the broken homes, but some of them don't have them. And I've been a part of them, too, for just younger kids. And it's our job to be able to lead them on a sports field and as well as spiritually, you know, for those coaches, you know, because they may need it. They may not get it anywhere else. They may be pressured by some of their friends not to do it. And it's a tremendous organization, and Catherine knows a little bit about it, but I've been to a couple of their seminars or their coaches' timeouts in Charlotte, and it is a phenomenal organization, and I think it's such an organization that needs to be plugged even more throughout the United States, because you see these high school coaches, and I see, you know, our high school coach from where I went, New Hanover High School, and I see all the kids. I don't know how many of them have dads or not. They're strong family homes, but you know what? A baseball coach, a football coach, a basketball coach, responsibility may not be, but you know what? It says a lot about a coach who can help a kid spiritually also.
Amen.
And help them on the field. So I really encourage any of these coaches who are out there right now to go to cto.org and check that out. It's an unbelievable organization.
Awesome. CTO.org, listeners.
Time out.
Yep. Check that out. Dive into it, especially if you're out there making a difference like we just talked about. Now, I haven't even, the show's almost over. I barely even touched on your time in baseball itself, which means I'm going to have you on again next year for the All-Star Game and have you bring another guest with you or something. But what I do want to throw out there for both you and Catherine, obvious high points of your career, a World Series victory, a huge playoff series when you were playing with Cleveland at the end of your career, even the as you already mentioned, kind of closing up shop at the end of your career and how emotional that was. What are some of those high points that you look back and you could just see God's hands all over it?
I think, you know, obviously looking at the World Series, the guys that we had on that team, I think how God worked in my life that year when I was in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. We played the Red Sox. It wasn't because we played the Red Sox. It was everything that happened. I had back surgery going in that season. The Indians took a chance on me. I wasn't really 100% healthy until August, and by that time I lost a lot of playing time, and it really hurt my career. And God really kind of touched my heart and saying, hey, look, there's two ways you can go about this. You can be a disgruntled ball player who wants to get out and maybe find a job somewhere else that, you know, you don't like, and then you start to get labeled as a disgruntled player. Mm-hmm. Or you can be a guy who goes in the clubhouse, makes it a great atmosphere for all the players, whether they're older or younger, and hopefully be a part of something special. Well, you know, we're one game away from being having something special there in Cleveland. And I remember sitting on my, not tailgate, but on the back bumper of my wife's Land Rover and deciding on what I was going to do. It was just amazing. When I woke up the next morning, I was like, I know what I'm going to do. And I wasn't going to be that guy that could have easily ruined the season. And and then also at the end of my career, how my financial advisor that I love dearly, Don Christensen, he says, hey, look, what bottom line is baseball doesn't define who you are as a man or as a person, just like football doesn't define a player or whatever job doesn't define another human being. Mm-hmm. It's the things that he's done in his life, the impacts he's made in his life throughout his friends and people he doesn't even know, whether it's spiritually or emotionally. So being able to kind of piece together some things, make a final push at trying to be a big league baseball player and then realizing that when my time was up, you know, I could easily walk. It was difficult. It wasn't easy.
Right.
That transition, being able to have those kind of people like Don and several other people from PAO and other outfits out there that prayed for me, and I just realized what kind of teammates I really have, whether it was in a clubhouse or out of the clubhouse. So wide range of things. I mean, highs and lows. You know, the biggest thing, obviously, was the World Series. And all that is a platform to glorify God.
Oh, amen.
And that's, you know, some of the things that we talked about, even with Walt. It's a platform to glorify him. Say, hey, you want me to show you my ring and all this stuff? That's fine, but just listen to what I got.
Yeah.
And it might not touch your heart. It might not knock you off your feet. It might just say, wow, you know what? As long as I can kind of like tip that fish into coming a little bit closer, maybe biting that hook, that's exactly what I want, you know, in order for them to kind of feel the awesomeness of having a personal relationship with Christ. So,
yeah. That's super cool. Catherine, is there a highlight that you can look back on in whatever it might be? Maybe if it's even in your family. I don't know. Maybe you could share maybe a highlight. You look back in life that God has just completely had his hands all over that thing.
Definitely, I have to agree with Todd. It's definitely the people that God has put in our lives. And just like Bill and Vicki Rose and Pro Athletes Outreach and the people we met in Boston and Walt. And I definitely think that's the highlight of being in that sport and
right.
being a part of it was the people that God put in our life and the lessons that we learned through the tough times and how he was with us and how he was with us when our son was born on September 11th. And it was just there were so many times that God has been with us and we could not have gotten through any of it without him and without our faith.
Amen. And how is Spirit in Baseball doing?
Doing well. We actually did a book signing at Fenway last month.
Awesome.
So we're trying to bring the book up there, and hopefully we'll be back for Faith Day. They have a Faith Day at Fenway Park as well, and that's, I think, sometime in September.
Okay.
But the books are going well.
They do that here in Detroit, too, and Baseball Chapel is heavily involved with that. I love Baseball Chapel. We didn't even get a chance to really talk about that a ton, but I support that 100%, and I've had Vince Noss, who was the president. I'm not sure if he still is.
Oh, we love Vince, too, yeah.
Oh, he's fantastic. He was on the All-Star Game special 2 years ago, and he was so good. If you guys know who he is, you'll have to ask him about being the Philly fanatic before he got to where he is today. It's a pretty hilarious story, but people involved in that.
Exactly, like Vince Noss. He was a good friend of ours, too, and just taught us so much. And just really helped build our faith, and we're just thankful for all the people that God put in our life at that time.
Amen. Who's going to win the All-Star game tonight? Do I even need to ask that question? You're obviously rooting for the American League. Is that true?
American League.
Oh.
Yeah.
Todd just blew me away. Okay, so National League, you're saying.
American League.
All
right. I don't
think
I'll ever go for the National League.
Yeah, okay.
One of my
yeah.
sons or family members is playing for it. You know, sorry, National League, but
yeah.
I'm with you. I'm an American League guy. I'm a Tiger fan. Sorry,
yeah,
Trot.
You're a Tiger
you know,
fan, so yeah, you're right.
It's what I grew up with, but yeah. Ben in Fenway, though, one of the I've said this before on Speak Up, the best stadium I've ever been in. There's just something about that rich history when you walk into that ballpark. And I was going to talk about that, too. It's got to be, it had to have been a special feeling walking in there to play like your first game before Trot.
Fenway, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was there's a lot of, finally I'm here. Wow, these are big league ballparks. This is what I've dreamed about. You know, then you take a minute and say, you know, God, can you imagine the players that have walked right here and going into, Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium the same way and Wrigley Field and, you know, couldn't wait to go to all the new ballparks and so forth and play in them. And it's just kind of a kid in a candy store. And the one thing about professional athletes you got to watch out is – you always want to have that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, when you stop having that feeling, that's when it gets tough. Because you're putting just too much emphasis on the game and not relaxing and going out and playing. Because, I mean, there is going to be some – you can't just – you have to sometimes tell yourself that, hey, I want that kid-like mentality to go out and play. But sometimes, you know, you're in a stressful situation, you know, it wasn't easy playing in Boston. It's not easy playing in New York.
Yeah.
You know, or over on the East Coast. You know, it's just not easy. I'm I've heard what I've heard about the West Coast, but, you know, I respect those organizations a great deal out there. But some of these cities, you know, they're fire-breathing if you don't get out there and compete and play the right way. So, I mean,
right.
there is going to be stress for a lot of guys and guys who want to continue their careers and hopes that they can continue their careers. But you got to kind of have that kid-like attitude when you get out there on that field, you know, because – this is a kid's game, and you're adults playing a kid's game, so to say. But sometimes that'll make things, you know, feel a little bit better. You're able to go out there and just play the game, react out there rather than try to force the hand. And
yes.
But it's a kid's game. You know, I loved it for years, and
yeah.
you know, I'm not going out to play in men's leagues. I'm not going out to play softball leagues. People ask me that. I'm like, hey, look, my time is over. Now it's time to whatever I've learned, whatever I can continue to learn, if I can pass it on to somebody who really cares, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let me bring in Cindy Sproles. We're already streaming over, which is fine by me, as long as I can keep my guests here and they're enjoying themselves. Cindy, why don't you come on back in? What did you think of tonight's show, the Nixons, as well as Eric Thompson, who's remained on hold to hear all the way to the end?
Well, I really appreciate the fact that he changed his viewpoint after hearing the original or the other one at the beginning.
Oh, you mean when I played the comment for
yeah.
Bill and Vicky
Thank
Rose?
You, yes.
Yeah, yeah,
Thank
that
you.
Was hilarious.
I just went brain dead. Sorry. Yeah, I thought this. But no, I think you guys are great, and you know, just to know that you're not afraid. You know, that you're proud to be a Christian and that you're not afraid to share that, you know, and to let other people know about it. And, two, to give credit of how you got to where you are. So I think it's great. I think it's neat. We need more people like you in the industries that you're
Amen.
In.
Amen.
I think there's a lot of people out there, and sometimes they're afraid. They're not afraid. They don't know how to go about saying it. Sometimes they're like, it's not a situation where they're afraid to profess their faith.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, they don't want to be someone who gets caught in a situation where, what do I say? What do I say to them? And,
right.
and I tell them, I'm like, look, I say, like, as soon as that situation comes up, you got a couple things. You got the Word of God. You got probably a whole network of Christians that may have the answer. Or you know what? God's going to lay on your heart what to say. Believe me, one of those three things will happen. And most of the time, it's God's going to lay on your heart what to say. So it's just a matter of, like when I went to the Czech Republic, let's step out of my comfort zone right now.
Mm-hmm.
Get
yeah.
out of my house. Get out of Wilmington, North Carolina. You know, get out of my comfort zone of being able to go talk to some churches here or get a testimony there and go overseas somewhere or go
yeah.
onto a military base or go, you know, onto my football team and pray with them. So that's
well,
the
we
thing.
Spend so much time. We spend so much time being politically correct. You know, that we forget that, you know, we just need to profess what we believe.
And that's right.
Because people need to hear that.
That's
they need
right.
to hear it. So,
hey, Jesus Christ was a bold man. He was a bold man that walked this earth, so we need to be bold as well. Now,
that's
Eric,
exactly
I know you've been on hold. Any final comments, final thoughts from you, my friend?
Well, I liked what I heard from Todd Nixon. Everything was good, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
We're happy to have had you as well. And, folks, we are out of time completely. Let me just leave you with this, folks, as I always do each and every week. Grab hold of your family. Grab close. Dive into Scriptures. The path is laid out there for you. All you got to do is check it out. And, folks, I hope you can watch the All-Star game together tonight, too. Go American League. We'll be here again 6 o'clock Tuesday night. Christian Devotion, speak up. Have a great week, everybody.